RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Indonesian Wonder, and we'll continue our segment with Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo urged state agencies to synchronize Indonesian branding. Minister Susi says biomass grows by 200%. Now, the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has urged all ministers and state agencies to synchronize efforts to boost Indonesian branding at the international level. He held a closed-door meeting with several ministers at the presidential office in Jakarta, where they discussed efforts to promote Indonesian branding in global market. He views that each ministry and state agency has its own tagline to promote national branding. He added that the Indonesian brand power should be enhanced in various domains, including trade and investment as well as tourism sector. The government recorded that the Indonesian branding grade in trade and investment was ranked 6.4% behind Singapore and Thailand. Meanwhile, the Indonesian branding power in tourism was ranked 5.2% behind Thailand with 9.4% and Singapore with 8.6%. Maritime and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujiastuti said that illegal fishing eradication efforts have increased fishermen's productivity. She also pointed out that Indonesia's marine biomass grew twofold since the government took assertive action against illegal fishing activities. She remarked that if the fish products are sold for $1 per kilogram, the revenue generated from 2 million tons of fish products equals to $2 billion. Minister Susi admit that she was surprised to see the numbers presented by the Central Statistics Agency or BPS. She views that the increase in fishermen's income is favorable amid the removal of fuel subsidy for fishermen, high inflation rate, and price hikes. Bank Indonesia plans to increase local micro, small, and medium enterprises or MSMEs access to the financial services industry. Head of Bank Indonesia's office in North Sulawesi Province, Sukardoyo, said on Friday that one of the efforts aimed at encouraging the development of MSMEs is to increase their capacity and improve their access to financial services. He emphasized that if the micro, small, and medium enterprises have access to financial services, they will continue to grow. He assured that he will always encourage banks to increase the amount of loans channeled to the real sector. In addition, he also pointed out that the central bank will also help micro, small, and medium enterprises find regional and international markets, minimize information disparities, and increase coordination and cooperation with stakeholders. He added that micro, small, and medium enterprises can also become a highly competitive sector that can even resist foreign and domestic upheavals. The Jakarta administration inaugurated on Friday a unit that will lead the effort to fight against illegal levies at a regional level. Acting Jakarta Governor Sumarsono said during the launch of the unit called the Illegal Levies Eradication Unit that this is formed in accordance with the mandate of President Joko Widodo to eradicate rampant illegal levies throughout the public services. The launch was attended by representatives of many state institutions, including the Jakarta Police, the Jakarta Military Command, the Ombudsman, and the National Intelligence Agency. Sumarsono also said the unit would be manned by 287 personnel, comprising 43 officials from Jakarta Provincial Administration and 244 from the province, 5 municipalities, and 1 regency. This news comes from Radio Service Voice of Indonesia. State-owned seaport operator PT Pelabuhan Indonesia 2 or Indonesia Port Corporation or IPC reports that the revenues from the operation of seaport in 2017 is projected to reach 10.5 trillion rupiah, rising by 12.11% from the realization in 2016 at 9 trillion rupiah. Pelindo President Director of IPC Elvin G. Masasya said in Bandung on Friday that from the 10.5 trillion rupiah of revenues, the company expects to reap net profit this year worth 3.6 trillion rupiah, rising by 17.2% from the amount it reaped in 2016 at 3.2 trillion rupiah. Elvin added that the target will be achieved through three strategies, namely applying good corporate governance, adding new working partners or new facilities to boost revenues, and carrying out effective spending. Pelindo 2 has the biggest seaport operator in Indonesia, is currently operating 13 seaports in Western Indonesia, namely Tanjung Priok, Sunda Kelapa, Palembang, Pontianak, Teluk Bayur, Banten, Bengkulu, Panjang, Cirebon, Jambi, Pangkal Batam, and Tanjung Pandan. The last item. State-owned railway manufacturer PT Inka said that the construction of the passenger train for Soekarno-Hatta Airport Railway has been completed 70%. Finance director of PT Inka, Muhammad Nur Sodik, said after a meeting with visiting Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi at the factory of company on Friday that the passenger train is ordered by State Railway Company PT Kereta Api Indonesia, adding it will have 10 train sets. He said that the train is to be delivered in mid-March 2017, and he is optimistic that Inka could finish building the train on time. Meanwhile, the long-awaited railway connecting Manggarai Station in central Jakarta to Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Tangerang, Banten, is to be operational this year. President Joko Widodo has said the government had invested 2.5 trillion rupiah, or around $177.4 million, in the project, which started in 2015. Well, that was news of Radio Service Voice of Indonesia.
Various significant events that occurred this week have been reviewed in the editorial of some leading media published in Jakarta and are outlined in the press review. Let's start from Kompas newspaper, which in its editorial on Friday wrote vocational and high school's transfer of management. There is no official evaluation yet over the transfer in management of high school vocational high schools in cities, county, up to the province. However, the second month of the transfer has seen various issues. Among the problems, the most serious issue is concerning teachers. There was a statement of Acting General Chairman of the Indonesian Teachers Association, Unifah Rosidi, which was not just a reminder but a reality to be faced. Among others, there is no technical instruction from the Interior Ministry, which is necessary to avoid a collision between the legislation governing local government and the laws governing the high school and vocational high school transfer in management. According to Kompas, the technical instruction is a reference and standard. Operationally, the provincial government works based on the transfer in management, with one of the major issues concerning teachers be addressed first. Various problems of teachers, such as the status and quality improvement, as well as the number and competence, should be aligned in a planned, systematic, and structured way. According to this new paper, the transfer in management is not simply moving the power, but also the responsibility, not only budget transfer, but the management of educational praxis. Turning to Media Indonesia newspaper, which in its editorial on Tuesday, January the 31st, wrote, "Maintaining constitutional justice dignity." There is something wrong with the design of the law on the Constitutional Court, Law No. 8 of 2011 on the amendment to Law No. 24/2003 regarding the Constitutional Court proved unable to prevent the constitutional judges from doing something despicable. Not only once, Chief Justice Akil Mukhtar on October 2, 2013 was arrested by the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK. 3 years later, on January 26, 2017, a constitutional judge, Patrialis Akbar, was also arrested by KPK. It must be admitted that the main weakness of the law is in the process of recruiting candidates for constitutional judges. Article 24C, paragraph 3 on the 1945 Constitution states that Constitutional Court has 9 judge members. 3 are proposed by the Supreme Court, 3 by the Parliament, and 3 by the President. The law states the nomination and election of constitutional judges should be transparent, participatory, objective, and accountable. Media Indonesia assesses revising the law on the Constitutional Court may take a long time. The president may issue a government regulation on rule of law. At the same time, the court should improve itself and not allergic to supervision. According to Media Indonesia, the revised legislation is fully intended to safeguard the dignity of the constitutional judges. Well, that was press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener of Arrival Service Post of Nisa, wherever you are. Welcome back to our program. Today in history, we begin some events which occur on February 4th. While we begin with the event of Sri Lankan freedom, Sri Lanka won its independence from Britain on February 4th, 1948, and today is used as the National Day of Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka in the 16th century became a Portuguese colony and then fell into the hands of the Netherlands. In 1798, Sri Lanka officially became the British colony. Since the early years of the First World War, the people of Sri Lanka fought for their independence. Finally, in 1931, Britain was forced to give a suffrage to the people and form the Sri Lankan Parliament. However, in foreign policy, Sri Lanka is still fully independent. Therefore, the people of this country were back to fight until finally became fully independent in 1948. We move to the event which occurred on February 4, 1994. The United States lifted the embargo on Vietnam. 11 years after the signing of the Paris Peace between Vietnam and the United States, U.S. government revoked economic embargo on Vietnam. The American embargo was imposed after a war in Vietnam, which lasted from 1964-1973, on which the Americans suffered total defeat. A year later, in July 1995, diplomatic relations between the two countries were restored. When today's program, Today in History, with the commemoration day of the World Cancer. Since 2000, the Health Conference in Paris, France has set February 4th as the World Cancer Day. There are 4 points to be set in the conference, including improving the life quality of cancer patients, improving cancer research, prevention and treatment of cancer patients. Cancer Day is celebrated because on this day, the World Health Organization and the International Agency for Research on Cancer support the Union for International Cancer Control, or International Cancer Control Association, to do more in the big to promote awareness and concern for cancer and preventive measure, early detection and treatment. Listener, that was today's edition in History, February 4th. See you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today, it's on ADB praises Indonesia's economic policy. President Joko Widodo, accompanied by Finance Minister Sri Mulyani, received the visit of Asian Development Bank ADB President Takehiko Nakao at the State Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday. In a press conference after the meeting, Takehiko Nakao praised Indonesian government because it has embarked on economic policy amid global financial uncertainty. Nakao said he was impressed with the Indonesian government's strong commitment to policy reform, which leads to an increase in market confidence and more Indonesian people gained from the benefits of economic improvement. According to Takehiko Nakao, the Asian Development Bank estimates that Indonesia's economic growth will reach 5.1% in 2017, an increase from 5% in 2016, while inflation, which declined to 3.5% last year, is expected to rise slightly to 4% this year. Since September 2015, Indonesia has launched 14 policy packages consisting of a series of policy reforms in various fields, intended to increase investment, strengthen competitiveness, and diversify the economy. Asian Development Bank noted the tangible results obtained from the reform package, including the improvement of Indonesia's position in the ranking of ease of doing business. Until the end of 2016, over 500 companies have used the revision negative list with planned investment of up to $12.9 billion. According to the Asian Development Bank, the regulation related to minimum wage setting also enables businesses to estimate their operational costs. Quoted from the official press release by the Asian Development Bank at the meeting, Takehiko Nakao reiterated the commitment of the Asian Development Bank loan to the Indonesian government, allocated about $2 billion per year in the medium term. As a founding member of the Asian Development Bank in 1966, Indonesia has received $31.8 billion in both state and non-state loans, as well as $3.2 billion in the form of technical assistance and grants. Last year, the Asian Development Bank provided support to Indonesia worth $1.75 billion, including $17 million in grants. According to Takehiko Nakao, many ways can be done by Indonesia to spur economic growth, one of them by taking care of the existing reform policies, particularly in the areas of infrastructures, education, and health. It will make Indonesia's economy more stable in the future so that growth can take place by itself. Meanwhile, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani explained that at the meeting, President Joko Widodo explained a number of Indonesian economic achievements. Also, the government's efforts to reduce social inequalities. The president gave as an example the Indonesia Smart and Healthy Cards and their distribution to the people, especially the poor. Well, that was Focus today on ADB praises Indonesia's economic policy. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here's news in brief. President Joko Widodo has urged all ministry and state agencies to synchronize efforts to boost Indonesian branding at the international level. Maritime and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujiastuti said that illegal fishing eradication efforts have increased fishermen's productivity. Bank Indonesia plans to increase local micro, small, and medium enterprises' access to the financial services industry. The Jakarta administration inaugurated on Friday a unit that will lead the effort to fight against illegal levies at regional level. State-owned seaport operator PT Pelabuhan Indonesia II or Indonesian Port Corporation or IPC reports that the revenues from the operation of seaports in 2017 is projected to reach 10.5 trillion rupiah, rising by 12.11% from the realization in 2016 at 9 trillion rupiah. State-owned railway manufacturer PT Inka said that the construction of the passenger train for Soekarno-Hatta Airport Railway has been completed 70%. Well, listeners, that was news in brief of our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners and welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of the many tourist attractions in Central Java Province. Stay tuned! Listener, the word Kurcaci means dwarf village, and maybe from its name, you imagine a small house with small people living inside of it. But this is not so with Kurcaci or dwarf village in the Purbalingga Regency, Central Java Province. This tourist attraction is located in the area of the resin trees forest, which have been planted since 1952, and because of that, anyone who comes to this place feels small. Listeners, the name of Kurcaci or Dwarf Village comes from an Indonesian philosophy. This philosophy states that humans are creatures which are smaller than nature. Because of that, humans should not be arrogant. According to local people, the origin of the emergence of Kurcaci or Dwarf Village began when local young men joined in Forest Village Community Institution to establish a school of nature in the forested area. At the school, there is a small house. The people who created Kurcaci cooperated with Perum Perhutani, the owner of the land, to create a tourist attraction in the area. Perum Perhutani is a state-owned enterprise of Indonesia, which has the duty and authority to enforce the planning, maintenance, utilization, and protection of forests in their working areas. Listener, The Kurchachi or Dwar village is located at the foot of Mount Selamat, which has a height of 3,428 meters above sea level. Specifically, Kurchachi is on Jalan Raya Brobahan, Serang village Karangreja sub-district in the Purbalingga Regency, Central Java province. Getting from the central of Purwokerto city to Kurchachi takes 2 hours by motorcycle. Arriving at the Kurchachi or Dwar village from the main entrance, tourists enter by going down a path around 500 meters. At around 3.5 hectares land, there are various kinds of attractions such as the camping ground, a barn, dwarf home, tree's home, a small waterfall, and library. Listeners, the Kurchachi or Dwar village can be visited every day of the week. It operates from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. The entrance ticket is around 5,000 rupiah per person, and parking ticket is 2,000 rupiah for motorcycle and 3,000 rupiah for a car. Well, listeners, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Kurchachi or Dwar village in Central Java province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, meet again with me, Andika, on Miscellany program. Listener, today's edition is about World Cancer Day. Listener, today, 4th February 2017, people all over the world commemorate of World Cancer Day. The celebration of the World Cancer Day is to save millions lives from death, which is preventable by encouraging governments and individuals to take earlier steps in prevention or healing. Since 2000, held conference in Paris, France has decided 4th February as the World Cancer Day. This warning became one of the implementations of the world's population to fight against this deadly disease. Even cancer can kill people more than the other diseases like AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis, although all these diseases combine together. Until now, cancer is still the main cause of death in the world. Data from the WHO website says that there are 5 types of cancer, with the most attack and kill both men and women. For men, they should be aware of lung cancer, gastric cancer, liver cancer, colon cancer, and throat cancer. Meanwhile, for women, they are facing breast cancer, lung cancer, stomach, colon, and cervical cancer or cervical. Aside from being a deadly disease, in Indonesia, cancer also becomes number 3 costly disease after heart disease and kidney disease. This year, the World Cancer Day celebration takes the theme We Can, I Can. This theme aims to spread the message that everyone, either a group or individual, can play a major role in reducing the burden and problems of cancer. There are more than 100 types of cancer that can affect almost all parts of the human body, but also there are many types of cancer that can be prevented by avoiding the general risk factor, such as tobacco smoke, and by maintaining a healthy diet and routinely exercise. Listener, to optimize the prevention and control of cancer in Indonesia needs strong and integrated efforts from all sides, including government, private, and community, especially the sense of caring among fellows. The peak of World Cancer Day 2017 will be held on 21st February 2017 in Bogor, West Java. World Cancer Day is expected to enhance the knowledge in 2017 and caution of people against this deadly disease and to improve and strengthen the system of cancer services in Indonesia. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about World Cancer Day 2017. See you again on next edition with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Radio Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are listening from. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern. In this edition, we will introduce you to an Indonesian female singer, Aura Kasih. Before we get started, let's listen to a song from Aura Kasih entitled Asmara.
kadang suka, kadang duka asmara bisa membuat semua
have just listened to a song from Aura Kasih entitled Asmara, which appears on her second album entitled Puncak Asmara. The upbeat song tells the story of a couple who are falling in love. This song appears as the title song as part of the soundtrack of a film entitled Asmara Dua Diana, which Aura also starred in. Aura is also well known as actress and cinema player, as well as a talented and famous singer. Aura began her career as finalist in 2007 Miss Indonesia competition. A year later, her career skyrocketed as a singer as she released her first album entitled Malaikat Penggoda. Her hit song entitled Mari Bercinta made her especially famous. This song fits into the dance hall genre. After releasing that upbeat song in early 2015, this girl who was born in Bandung released a ballad entitled Pemilik Hati. Here is Pemilik Hati song.
Lihat ku di sini,
That was our second song from Aura Kasi entitled Pemilik Hati. This song was popularized by the band Armada. Singing a ballad was quite the challenge for Aura Kasi. In 2015, Aura sang another ballad entitled Bukan Dia. This song describes an undesirable relationship, one that is forged as she does not fully give her love to her partner because she loves another person. This song, which was composed by Glenn Fredly, an Indonesian singer and songwriter, was popularized by Helena. Well, listener, to conclude our program Music Corner for today, let's listen to a final song from Aura Kasi entitled Bukan Dia. This is the acoustic version of the song, which was sung at Voice of Indonesia Studio some time ago. Thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa!
Sejujurnya hati ini tak pernah kau miliki. Dan sesungguhnya tak ada cinta yang aku berikan. Yang kau miliki,
kau miliki
hanyalah bukan seluruh hatiku. Bukan dia,
bukan dia,
bukanlah dia,
bukan dia
yang seharusnya memiliki aku. Bukan dia,
bukan dia,
bukanlah dia,
bukan dia
yang seharusnya hati dosakah bila terpaksa aku hidup tanpa memilih. Jelas hati ini,
hati ini
kan tersiksa dan tak bisa
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
tatap matamu seolah ingin kanaku, ingin dekat kepeluk aku dan sentuh cintaku. Tapi tunggulah dulu kau jangan coba merayu, tunggulah dulu kau jangan dekati aku. Sabarlah dulu kau jangan marah padaku, bukan salahku jika banyak yang mau padaku.
Mari semua dansa denganku, dekat aku dan hanyutanku. Dengan irama yang menggoda, melepaskan hasrat dirimu. Mari semua dansa denganku, dekat aku dan hanyutanku. Dengan irama yang menggoda, melepaskan hasrat dirimu.
Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.